The ship ran aground that night as it was trying to make its homecoming landing. The wind was screaming, the sleet was falling in sheets, and the rocks upon which the ship had grounded were lit alternately by flashes of lightning and the flashing of the lighthouse's rotating light. As the ship broke apart, the men clung to rafts of timber. The lifeboat swept away with the waves. The waves beat the men off their timbers one by one as they slipped into the sea, lost. The screaming of the wind intertwined with the screaming of the women and the children on the docks in the storm as they watched their men be swept away. And in the howling of the storm, in the howling of a village's grief, there was silence. The silence of shock, the silence of horror, the mute silence of despair. Who will save them now? The shipwreck takes all of us. It does not leave any of us out of the clutches of its disaster. In our lives, we have shipwrecks of our own making and shipwrecks that have come upon us from outside of ourselves. But ours is not just a personal shipwreck. We are all subject to the big shipwreck. We are members of this human community that is in bondage to sin and is rushing headlong toward oblivion. Ours is a shipwreck for our families, for our community, for our nation, for our world. The entire cosmos, without the salvation given by Jesus, is under the power of evil and pain and death. Jesus' disciples, as they waited in the garden that night that we celebrated last night, they watched a shipwreck of their own unfolding before their eyes. Jesus' disciples, waiting with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, watched as the soldiers with their torches made their way from Jerusalem to the olive grove on the hillside where they kept watch. From their vantage point, the disciples watched as the soldiers marched the switchback roads coming down out of Jerusalem, down through the Kidron Valley, and back up to the garden where they waited. They could see the entire foul procession. As they waited, they heard the shouts of the crowd. They saw the shaded figures of the soldiers lit by the flickering lights of their torches. As the unholy parade drew close, they could feel the heat of the torches. They could smell the creosote burning and the sour stench of the unwashed soldiers. They could feel the jostling of the overheated crowd surrounding them. They could feel the hot breath of the men excited by their depravity. They could taste the sour fear in their own dry mouths. Even in the midst of the shouts, there was silence, the silence of shock, the silence of horror, the mute silence of despair. Who will save us now? The shipwreck unfolded in the flickering darkness from there. Jesus was arrested. The disciple, Peter, who thought he would be loyal to the last, discovered himself for what he was, a common betrayer, just like all the others. Jesus was questioned by Pilate, then Herod, then he was flogged. He was mocked, a crown of thorns thrust upon his head and a purple robe tossed contemptuously over his shoulders. As the flickering darkness of this evil night gave way to dawn and then to high noon, Jesus was led out of the city carrying his own cross upon his back. Jesus climbed up, up, up to the place of the skull. And he climbed up, up, up onto his cross. In the howling of this spiritual storm, in the howling of the disciples' grief, there was silence. The silence of shock. The silence of horror. The mute silence of despair. Who will save us now? The moment is not far off now, because it was here on the cross, after this evil night, when all the powers of evil and death came out and began to celebrate their triumph over life. It was here on the cross, after this evil night, that the collision between Jesus and the devil came to a head. It was here on the cross that Jesus made his stand. It was here on the cross that God's wrath flared against every evil that would hurt and destroy his beloved creation. It was here on the cross that Jesus became the victor. Here on the cross, Jesus won victory over death. Here on the cross, Jesus became the salvation of the world. We are in the presence of deep mystery now. N.T. Wright reminds us in the devotional that we've been reading together this Lent. The point is that this moment, this bloody and dark moment, this miscarriage of justice, this terrible suffering, this offering by Jesus of his full self to the will of God, this is how God is dealing in sovereign, rescuing love. This is how God is dealing with the world's weight of evil and pain and with death itself. This is what glory looks like. This is how the shipwrecked are saved. Jesus, knowing that it was all finished, knowing that evil and pain and death were being defeated, knowing that salvation was coming into the world to rescue the shipwrecked, Jesus said, "It is finished." And then he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. This is what glory looks like. This is how the shipwrecked are saved. This is how God is dealing in sovereign rescuing love. This is how your new life is given to you. This is a gift of love. It is a gift of grace. This is a gift that cost everything. And it is a gift for the world.